Stay standing. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read three verses here, and then I'll read one other verse to you. We'll pray and have a special, and then I'm going to come back and preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. I'm going to say this now. I don't know what it is about Dr. and Mrs. Chaco, but they're always here on Sundays that I get mean. I'm just going to warn you, I need you to stay awake and look at me, and this is not a day to be piddling around, because I'm going to burn your barley field if you're not careful, all right? So just, yeah, buddy, I'm on a short fuse, and I already lit it, amen? And that's you, Brother Scott. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. Tell you what, I'll read verse 4, you join me on verses 5 and 6. Ready? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, ready? And having a written readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me read one other verse to you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, please use the preaching of your word today. You said by the foolishness of preaching, you change lives. Help us to be wise enough to listen to it. Help us not to play or to talk to the person next to us or behind us or in front of us. Help us not to piddle with things in our lap, but help us to pay attention to the preaching of the word of God, so that you could change our lives today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am so glad that I am here. I thank God I'm saved.
Amen.
I thank God that, good night, it's hard to believe, but all about 37 and a half years ago, God called me to preach. I preached the very next day that I surrendered to preach as a 13-year-old boy. I sat through conference this week. I've been preaching longer than two of the men that preached this week have been alive. Brother Cooper and Brother Bill Davis are younger than I have been preaching. That's scary. The only one that was really old was Dr. Jorgensen, praise the Lord. And Dr. Jorgensen was the vice president of the college that I went to. You know, I'm glad that I associate with people that have not changed.
Amen.
I'm glad that I haven't changed in all these years. Gotten meaner, gotten uglier, got less hair. But I haven't changed. You say why? Because that book right there has not changed.
Amen.
And the older I get, the more I realize it's only by the word of God that God changes lives. And I want you to listen to me today. I want to help you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, God says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, wait a minute, that seems like there may be a contradiction. But let me say, there is no contradiction in Scripture.
That's right. That's right.
God says, I don't want you to take vengeance on anyone, but yet in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, I want you to have vengeance on disobedience. Now, God does not want us to live with revenge or vengeance. You say, why? Because we're all sinners.
Yeah.
We are all sinners. Now listen to me, I can help you. Not a one of us have perfect justice. You say why? Because we're sinners. We all see life through our eyes, not God's eyes. God does not say, I want you to revenge people. He said, I want you to revenge disobedience. You know, we are not to live. We humans are full of pride. We're not to live trying to get back at anybody. We're not to live at saying, well, as long as I live, I'm going to get back at that person. We have to we get the God mentality that we can decide what's right and wrong. We humans don't have the ability to see through the life or the justice through the window of sinlessness. We really don't. We do not have the ability as human beings to see everything in perfect justice. Our windows are tainted by sin. They're dirty. Go out there and look at my truck right now. It's dirty. Drove through the snow and the muck and the yuck all the way back from Kentucky, and I hadn't had a chance to clean it yet. I had stuff in it all the way till yesterday afternoon, and by the time I thought I was going to get ready to clean it up, then found out we had a house showing. And then we had to hurry up, and then they got there early and had to hurry up even more and get out of there. And it just didn't work out. My truck's dirty. You look through the side windows this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning on the way to the church, and I thought, man, it's really foggy out this morning. It wasn't foggy, it was just dirty. Now, wait a minute. Our eyes are distorted. They're not as sharp. They don't have the perception because of sin. It's kind of like when, a long time ago, when I started realizing I may need glasses. I was an assistant pastor, and I'd get up and I'd read the scriptures. And I started slaughtering them all the time. And my pastor said, you need to go get your eyes checked. I said, what for? He said, I think you need glasses. I said, I don't need glasses. Good night, I'm only 40 years old. I don't need glasses. I may have been even before 30 or 40. He said, just humor me. Go get them checked. I came back with a prescription for glasses. And I asked the eye doctor, I said, why is it? He said, do you read a lot? I said, define a lot. He said, well, how many pages do you read a week? At the time I was overseeing proofreading for a church of over 1,000. I was reading. I was principal in a Christian school. As an assistant pastor, I taught and preached every week. I said, I average probably about somewhere between 500 and 1,000 pages a week, minimum. He said, there's your problem. He said, you've overused your eyes. He said, you will notice it sooner than somebody that doesn't read like you do or do fine close-up work. He said, construction workers and stuff, their eyes are just as bad as yours at this age, but they don't notice it much until they're trying to do something that's up close and personal. They don't use them like that, and they want to deny it longer because they think they see better than you, but they don't. When I put my glasses on, it was like, Shazam, look at that. Everything was a little clearer, a little brighter. Now, we don't want to admit that we don't know as much as God. Everybody doing okay? Isn't it amazing how much we humans can say, well, this is what God wants for me. Most people in here don't know what God wants for you. It's easier to believe that there's no God so that you can say you're as smart as God is. I sent this to Brother Mike and a couple other folks last night. In Washington State, they have now started in the last year, and they're going to implement this more and more across our country. They're doing what they call imaginary sports. They're playing soccer and other sports with no ball. So that not only are they not keeping score, but there's no ball. And that way that nobody, everybody gets to be a winner. And it's as you see it. Lord, help us, Jesus. I'm not kidding. They're playing entire soccer games with people in uniform, and they're running around like they're kicking a soccer ball, and nobody can see it because it's not there.
Oh, wow. That's some kind of special.
When I was a kid, those kind of people wore I Love Me coats. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the long white ones with wraparound sleeves and padlocks and chains. Yeah. Now help us. Because of sin, we don't qualify to carry out perfect vengeance. We don't qualify to have perfect revenge. God does tell us, though, that we are to revenge disobedience. Now, he tells us very specifically how to do this. He tells us what that is that is going against us and how to oppose it with obedience. And it's very clear in Scripture. God wants us to have revenge on disobedience. How do we revenge disobedience? Very simple. With obedience.
Yes.
With obedience. You know, God does not want you to revenge people. We're not to lash out at those that hurt us. We're not to attack those who have attacked us. Nobody in our group here would know, except probably my wife. I had a half a dozen people come up to me that have slandered me, tried to smear my name, smear our church's name at the conference this week. I had somebody trying to smear me at the conference. Say, what'd you do? Walked up and shook their hand. Said, how you doing? Now, while they're spreading their manure, I would see them coming, and I'd just dodge over and talk to another friend.
I see.
Wait a minute. I chose not to have confrontation. You say, are you mad at them? No, I feel sorry for them that they're that bitter and that messed up. My heart aches for them. I'm not angry. May I say something? We're not to criticize those who have criticized us. Or we're as guilty as the one that criticized us. We are not to attack the one that attacked us. Or we are as guilty as the attacker. We are not to be angry with the one that was angry with us. Or we're as guilty as that person. Why do you want to stoop down to the attacker? Step up. Step up. By the way, this is not easy. It's not easy. Say why? It goes against our sinful flesh. When somebody sticks the knife of criticism or disloyalty or malice in your back and they start twisting that old knife, it doesn't feel good. While they're twisting the knife, you got to walk up and shake their hand and be kind. With a smile on your face. Everyone that was on that trip saw me shake hands with somebody that has tried to destroy me. And they couldn't tell you who it was. Say, why? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. Say, preacher, did you want to? If I did what I wanted to do, they wouldn't still be alive. As a sign used to be sitting on my desk where nobody else could see it, as a Christian school principal, the only reason some people are still alive is because it's illegal to kill them. There's times I'd be, and I'd look at that sign and start laughing. They thought I was enjoying them. No, they didn't know what I was thinking. You'll find out how spiritual you really are when you got to step up like that.
Yes.
Don't react to your sinful flesh. Take time to act spiritually. Are you going to do what you want or do what God wants? This is one of those sermons. Everybody practice. Amen. You ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
And then we ought to try oh me. One, two, three.
Oh me.
All right, here we go. Our world is living on borrowed time.
Yes, sir.
Our world is more and more wicked as we go.
Yes, sir.
Hollywood is more vile and more poisonous than ever.
Yes, sir.
Immorality and sodomy is so bad where people don't even know if they're male or female anymore. It just takes a quick biology lesson, just so you know. It doesn't take long to figure it out. legalized marijuana. When I was growing up, they called it dope. You say, why? Because it made you stupid. And now we have states that have legalized it. Hang on. We have cities who use tax money, every taxpayer's dollars, to help people go into clinics and have nurses shoot their drugs up for them with clean needles. And we're paying, by the way, Martinsburg wants to do that. That's this building they want to put in downtown. Use our tax dollars to build it. Use our tax dollars to fund it so that they have people on staff that are medically trained to shoot people up with heroin and crack. And we call that progress. We have people chemically addicted to almost anything and everything in the world. They've had to outlaw hand sanitizer and mouthwash in most places because people have learned how to break it down. My son was telling me the new trick that they're doing with hand sanitizer, how to get rid of everything but the alcohol in it and drink pure alcohol. He was at work last week, or a week and a half ago. The guy came into the hospital with a blood alcohol level of 0.42, over five times the legal limit. He blue-coated three times. I told him that guy will live forever because his innards are pickled. Lord have mercy. Drank enough alcohol to where he actually died on the table three times. You have people eating laundry soap, getting sick. Can I tell you something? You're pretty sick to start off with. We have young people and even adults that they think the only way to fix themselves is to cut themselves with knives and razor blades. Can I tell you something? Jesus needs to step in and change your life. Well, there's just so much pressure, preacher. Good night. You don't think I live with pressure, but I never thought about that. I'm going to show you something here. How are we as Christians supposed to survive this wicked world? Are we to fight back? Can I tell you something? You are no match for the devil.
Right.
You are no match for the devil. Brother Stoltz, you are no match for the devil. You look a lot like him. Brother Brian, as big and tough as you are, you're no match for the devil. Brother Scott, you might ugly him out a little bit, but and as tough as you are with all the different karates and jujitsus and martial arts things that you have, you are no match for the devil. By the way, neither am I. None of us can do it. But there is a way we can beat all of the negative. You say, how do we fight back? When do we fight back? Who do we fight back? It's real simple. God says you do it by obeying Him. You don't have to fight back. You just have to obey. One of my daughter's friends, Elizabeth Gilhausen, she said, hey, Brother Bush, she said, are you staying out of trouble? I said, you got to get out to stay out. She said, I knew you were going to say something like that. Now, wait a minute. Do you know how you fight the devil? You don't fight him. Just follow Jesus. Everything be all right. You know, I don't try to fight bad doctrine. I just keep preaching right doctrine. I don't try to fight the wrong Bibles. I just preach the right one. I don't have to fight the tobacco and the alcohol and the drug industry. We just keep doing what God said. You see, too many of us get on these little side skirmishes. And the devil gets you on one little thing, gets you away from it to try to fight him. Can I tell you something? You can't fight somebody that won't fight back. My wife and I have been married 28 and a half years, almost 29 years. Her birthday's this week. I'm in trouble. I won't tell you how old she's going to be. You can ask her. But AARP did contact her this week. That's a depressing mail that you get, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? In 1989, before we got married, I had to think of which year it was, sorry. So long ago, I forgot. In 1989, before we got married, I said to her, I said, honey, I said, we are not going to argue in our marriage. She's always right. I'm always wrong. Got this thing down. I'm good with this. I said, we're going to disagree a lot of times, but we're never going to raise our voice. We're never going to argue. If it ever gets to that point, I'm shutting down, not doing it. Do you know, in 28 and a half, almost 29 years, she and I have never been in an argument where we raise our voice at each other. Have we disagreed? Every day. Sometimes multiple times, I'm sure. Have we ever even gotten into some serious things we disagree about? Of course we have. We had three kids. And one was Josh. I wanted to kill him. She wouldn't let me. She wanted to kill him. I wouldn't let her. I don't know why either of us stopped each other. Nah, I'm teasing. But may I say this? Now listen up. In almost 29 years, we've never argued. Never raised our voice. You know, my children are all three adults, and they've never heard their mom and dad argue with each other because we've never done it. You say, didn't you want to a time or two? We're not going there. Of course I have. I know she has wanted to more than once. A day. I'm sure. But may I say this? We decided a long time ago how we would behave. And we've followed that code of ethics. Do you know the divorce word's never been used in our home? I said, look, before we get into this thing any farther, you've got to agree, once we do this, it's for life no matter what. We're not going to bring that word up. And we haven't. Before it gets that far, she hits me with a pan. Now, can I tell you something? There is a way to do right and disagree. Now, I want to show you how you fight the enemy today. Number one, what are the enemies? Glad you asked. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says in verse number 5, casting down imaginations. I want everybody to look at me for a moment here. That word imaginations is a big word. Sit up and listen to me. Imaginations means newness, modern, or contemporary, or the word regenerated. In other words, something from the past that's brought back new. We are following into a point where contemporary is destroying our country. Contemporary is destroying Christianity. Everybody doing okay? When I was a young person, they called it modernism. Churches have become contemporary. Drive down the road and look at the signs. Original service this time, contemporary service this time. Contemporary, that's imagination. See the billboards of the rock concerts at the church with all the smoke and the rock bands and everything else. A little pastorette with his sermonette sucking on a cigarette, sitting on his chair with his turtleneck. Good night. Now, I'll preach the gospel to anybody that shows up, but I'm not changing what I am.
Amen.
Everybody thought Brother Fugit was kidding when he said there was a Presbyterian church there. There was. They had a woman pastor that brought some teenagers to a Baptist convention. He let it fly. When Brother Fugit got up and started ripping on preachers, and especially when he said there shouldn't be a woman, they got a little testy. They should have read the sign out front. It said Baptist. I was laughing. Say, how'd you find that out? Because Brother Arcola was sitting right in front of him. I was getting skinny on that one. They were on the other side of the auditorium. Once I found that out, I looked for them the next service. Say, why? I like seeing people wiggle. Now, wait a minute. Churches have become contemporary. They've gone with modern music, contemporary Christian music. Usually the word contemporary means bad doctrine and done the wrong way. You get into this sensual, slighty, and showy stuff, and everybody doing this while they're singing, and all the other stuff. Give me the old-fashioned stuff. I've told Brother Stoltz, we are not singing anything in our church that has not been at least 25 years old. Unless it's somebody in this church that's written the music or somebody that I personally know. Say why? 25 years generally proves whether it's right or wrong. Everybody doing okay? We're having praise and worship teams in Baptist churches. That's Pentecostal junk.
Yes, sir.
I know one of the biggest Baptist churches, it was one of the biggest churches in the world at one point in time in my hometown. One time ran 10,000 people in church. They now have a praise and worship team with women wearing breeches on the platform and a skinny little dude with no tie on, and the preacher doesn't even wear a tie, leading the singing, and they all dancing up on the platform. Took my wife and one of my kids to see that auditorium where I had been saved and my family had been years and years and years ago, and I saw Brother Henniger's old pulpit. I wrote a poem about how sad that pulpit must be, hearing all the junk going on instead of seeing people get saved. Everybody doing all right? I'm talking about orchestras. We have brought highbrow music into church. How about revival music into church?
Amen.
You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to have music in church. It does say you're supposed to have preaching. I'm watching the churches with the orchestras stop their buses to have orchestra practice. Get rid of the orchestra and go get the bus kids.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? I'm going to change just a little bit here. We've modernized our churches with high-techy stuff. Well, this is the 21st century, preacher. So they get their little movie screens, and we'll save money on songbooks, and we'll put all of the words and the music on a screen. There's nothing sinful about it, but I'm telling you something. Then it goes from that to other things. Then they start putting everything on online, and people stay home, and it's okay to watch us live on Facebook instead of going to church. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as man or some is.
Yes, great.
Amen.
We have Baptist churches, and this is started in California, and it's going our direction very quickly, not in our church, because it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before it happens here. They're not even doing announcements in church. They'll throw the announcements up on their movie screens with people in their church making live announcements and doing things with all kinds of pretty music so that they can save time in church. People can just watch the announcements as they walk out of church. Is it sinful? No, but it's not right.
I thought the whole purpose of church was preaching. I don't get up and make announcements just to make announcements. I make announcements so that we're building a rapport with one another, so that by the time that we're done, you're willing to listen to the preaching and the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you'll respond to God, not me. Same thing with the music. If you notice... I'm telling myself, we have what I call first songs, second songs, and third songs. If you notice the pace of the songs, they're a little different. First one's bombastic, loud, fast, happy, glory to God, have a spell. Second one's just a notch below that. Third ones are a little slower. Say why? Because everything's supposed to be focusing on the preaching. We ought not be up shouting and screaming and running around the auditorium right before we get to the preaching. The preaching ought to be the focal point, not the singing. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. The Hollywood crowd keeps regenerating the old with a new flair. Hollywood's not real intelligent. Have you noticed? They're making billions of dollars redoing what they did in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Disney's remade everything. And by the way, the first was bad enough. Second, they've included all the sodomites and the profanity and all of the fornication and adultery into it. How wicked can it get? Witchcraft. They've brought the fashion industry into things. Can I tell you something? New fashion is worthless. Let me say that again. New fashion is worthless. We're supposed to keep ourselves covered as Christians. Amen. Glad to hear Brother Jorgensen and Brother Fugue get up and throw a fit about men dress. Mm. Amen? Yes, there's things in the Bible. You know, a man's supposed to keep himself covered as much as a woman's supposed to keep herself covered.
That's right.
God describes nakedness as a bare chest and anything between the shoulders and the knees. If it's uncovered, it's naked. And God didn't say it was just for women. It's for all of us.
Yes. Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm having fun. Told you. Miss Lopez shouldn't have got me that other coffee this morning. I'm wound up. Hollyweird isn't supposed to tell you how to dress.
Amen.
Contemporary Christians that are rebelling against the Word of God shouldn't tell you how to dress. Well, I know these other people, they're spiritual people, and they dress this way. They're not as spiritual as you think they are. Technology is about to destroy us, all the new technology. Can I tell you something? There is more sin done on that than all of the other sins combined in generations ago. And some of it's pretty creepy. And I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. I'm not against it. I have a smartphone. I call it a dumb phone. But may I say this, that will be the tool that the Antichrist uses to rule the world. Everybody doing okay? We have smart refrigerators that you can control with your cell phone. We have smart TVs that you can control with your phone, and with this, that you can start your car with your phone. You can lock your house and unlock your house and change the lights here and there with your phone, whether you're there or not. You can turn your stove on or off with your cell phone. You can turn a crock pot on or off with your cell phone. You have these little things that you put in your house and you can talk to it and get all the information you want out of it. Your smart TVs, I hate to disappoint you, they can do the spying on you just as much as they can anything else. All of your GPS location devices and things that you have, the government has access to it. You don't understand, when you have one of these, anybody who is involved with federal communications and the federal government with security, they have the ability to listen in on anything you're saying, whether your phone's on or off. And we think we're something. That is imaginations. I got to hurry here. Next, it says, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everybody hang on. Somebody say amen real quick. Because it's about to be oh me. Somebody's got to preach against the filthy education in America today. Public education is based on theories, lies, and deceit against God. They want to blame God for school shootings, but they kicked God out 50 years ago out of the public schools. They took the Bible out. They took prayer out. They took the Pledge of Allegiance out. And now they want to blame God for a school shooting? You're the ones that said we came from monkeys, not God.
Right.
Public education is nothing but a cesspool of propagandizing young people. And I'm going to show you how bad it is. We've got so many generations educated by it that they've been told whatever the school says goes. Okay, everybody look at me. I love you. But I think it's as wicked as hell that West Virginia school teachers would go on strike during the school year. They're making $49,000 a year plus $12,000 a year in benefits, and they work 8 months a year. They're employed for 9 months, but they get 1 month off with all their days off. And they get every day off their children have off. And 89% of those teachers are two-income families. That means for $61,000 for 8 months. If they worked the same amount of hours for 12 months, they'd have a $75,000+ a year salary plus benefits. And it's all about the children? No, it's not. When I was growing up, every school teacher in America had a second job. You taught because you loved helping educate young people. You weren't a propagandizer of wrong doctrine. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. You can say what you want, but the Department of Education, the moment your child enrolls in public education, they'll tell you your child is not yours. They're ours now until they graduate. And the school has more say-so than the home does. The government is one of those things that exalts itself above God. Jefferson County, with your stormwater management's junk, exalting yourself above God. We're paying the price, but when it's over, I've asked God to let me rule Jefferson and Berkeley County. Millennium, the panhandle's mine. Every one of those dudes is going to be digging wells by hand. The press, the United States press, is out of control. Say, preacher, how are we supposed to get news? If you listen to it, believe the opposite, and you're going to become pretty close to the truth. Yes. The press is like a bunch of ankle-nipping little dogs. Yep, 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 all the time, doing nothing but annoying everybody. Like Miss Wally's dog. About like a bunch of mosquitoes. Is all they want to do is buzz around and suck the blood out of everybody and tell you how smart they are. The average person in the United States press is dumber than a box of rocks. And they can go about unjustly accusing people and never apologize for it, convicting them before there's ever a trial, stating everything that's not even factual, and they're smart. Talking about the globalist crowd. The liberals in our country want no borders because they want a global economy. They want a global world. They want nations with no borders. That's called one world system. That's called Antichrist. I'm talking about the humanism. The LGBTQ, XYZ, PDQ, whatever. Same-sex marriages. Lord have mercy. Gender-neutral bathrooms. Yeah, they'll be gender-neutral because only one at a time is going in, trust me. When our kids stopped and went to the... when we had to stop and stuff, I made sure we were watching so no pervert walked into the bathrooms. I didn't tell them that, but I did. Say why? Because it's hard telling what's going to happen in our world today. Ain't no dude walking in the girls' bathroom with our ladies there. Amen. They're going to carry him out of the building on a stretcher. Yes, sir. Or a body bag. Yes, sir. High things that exalt themselves above God. Okay, everybody say amen for a second.
Amen.
I'm talking about families that exalt themselves above God. Parents with God mentality.
You think you're God of your home. You ain't God of your home. That's devil of your home. You ought to let God be God, not you. Everybody doing okay? I know churches that are so focused on the family that they don't do anything as a church. You need to be willing to let your kids go to church activities without you being there. They need to learn to follow somebody other than you.
Now some of you, you let them go anywhere they want. You got two extremes there. The family is not a mini God. It's for you to train. God gave you kids to rear them so that when they left your home, they would follow him, not you. I'm not afraid to say it.
I've got one son that's an assistant pastor. I've got another son that's working on getting on the police force in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm just proud of both of them. Got another one that sat with a toe-headed idiot all week.
He's a pretty nice guy. We'll find out. I got my eyes on him. Everything's all right. I got Brother Cooper looking out after him. I got Brother Fugit on it. I got others. They can't breathe the wrong way without me knowing, trust me. But I was really glad when I was standing there talking to Brother Cooper on Thursday night. He walked up and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I'm impressed with your daughter and Brandon. He said, they always sit on the front row of my class. He said, they've never been one of those couples at the college that we have to worry about. I said, do me a favor, worry about them. He smiled. He said, oh, we don't stop watching them. But they're not ones that are on our radar all the time. I said, well, I didn't rear them to stay. I reared them to go, and my job was to get them dependent on God, not dependent on me. And he and his wife just had a baby a year ago. He said, boy, that's a good parenting philosophy. I said, I did three of them. Oh, by the way, Brother Cooper and my son Jeff golf a bunch of times a year. They're friends, play on the same basketball team together. He knows my son Josh. Helped train him a little bit, worked with him some. Didn't do a very good job. Now wait a minute. Our family is not supposed to exalt itself above God. I thank God my family is serving God, but can I tell you something? Not all of them did for a while. So what do we do about it? Those are the things we're supposed to put down. Those are the things we're to have revenge on. How do we get revenge on these things? Glad you asked. God said, cast down imaginations. Do you know what the word cast down means? It means to throw it down. It means literally to throw it down heavily. It means to lower with violence. Hoorah. Amen, fellas. Every time I go, that's casting down.
Amen.
Demolish. Destroy. One of those words we all like. Amen, fellas. God said we are supposed to demolish, to lower with violence those things that are imaginations. What's that? Contemporary. New things. The newness and the regeneration of the old and perverted with the new. God said we are to cast it down. You say, how do we do that with the right stuff? How do we put down the wrong music, Brother Stoltz? We sing the right music. How do we put down the wrong church philosophy? We do the right church philosophy. We do God's philosophy.
Amen.
How do we put down bad dress? By dressing right. How do we put down the Hollywood crowd? By not watching it. How do we put down all of the modern technology stuff that's getting out of control? By having control of it or don't have it. I didn't say it's sinful to have, But too many people allow it to control them instead of the Holy Spirit.
How do we control the wrong and the evil influence in young people? Get rid of the evil games that they play. About 95% of the video games in our country are as evil as hell itself. Killing, violence, witchcraft, indecent dress, on and on. You know, it's one thing that you won't watch a Hollywood movie because of the way some Hollywood whores dress, but you'll let your kids play a video game where they're dressed worse. I'm talking about Marvel Comics.
Well, that's just imaginary. Ooh, imagination. Imaginary. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Talking about worldly attitudes. How do you get rid of worldly attitudes? Have a Christian attitude. Have a godly attitude. When your mom and dad or somebody in authority tells you, no, I want to do it anyway. Rebel, get your heart right.
Yes, sir.
I thank God that no is not a bad word.
Amen.
No is a preventative word by somebody that loves you that doesn't want you to destroy your stinking life. And you want to fight it? There's some things our young people made some decisions about. Some of you have some clothes you need to bring and burn them. Some music CDs, bring them in, we'll burn them. Bring them tonight. We'll just have a good old party tonight. Some of you adults have things you need to get rid of, bring it tonight. We'll go out back and burn things down, not the building. I'm going to use the illustration Brother Davis used in the 1700s. Cortez and the Spanish army landed in Mexico to take over the Aztec Empire. He had mutiny, he had death and disease on his ships, and by the time they got there, there weren't enough of them literally to take it over. They got into the smaller boats and went to the shore, and they said, how are we going to do this? And before they left, his orders were to burn the boats. The big ships were burning in the harbor. And they had nowhere to go. They had to take it. And they did. Some of you need to take the wrong in your life and don't put it in the closet. Bring it to the church and let's burn it.
Amen.
Say,
Amen.
Are you talking to me? Yes, tonight.
Amen.
Got too many things hidden in the closet to slide back to. Too many things stored away here or there. Bring it. Get rid of it. Well, I could get some money out of it and help somebody else sin and do wrong. After we cast down things, the Bible says we revenge by our obedience. I want you to notice something. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is your natural reaction to the preacher or to your mom and dad or to somebody in spiritual authority, I don't want to do that? Then you have a bad attitude and you're exalting yourself above God. Or is every thought, whew, man, I ought to do that. If that's what God wants, that's what I want. If you're struggling with the thought that I just said earlier, you haven't brought every thought into the obedience of Christ yet. Are you doing okay? Some of you might need to bring your cell phone and throw it to fire. Some of you might need to bring a computer and drop it in the fire. Because it's got more control of your life than God does. Hey, how about obey getting saved? You know the best way to help a lost world? Get saved. Get saved.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the best way to get in the starting of obeying God is after you got saved, get baptized? It's real simple. How do I get my eyes off myself? Very simple. Just go soul winning. We have too many selfish Christians. They don't want to tell anybody. They just want to come and get. You're like the 800-pound gorilla at Golden Corral. They know how to get far enough from the table to get to the food bar, but it's obvious they've been there way too much. The purpose of eating is not just enjoyment. It's to give your body strength to go out and work. You know, some of us ought to be more ready to read the Bible than read the comic book. Read the latest Harry Potter mouth. Read some wicked witchcraft junk. Watch the movies. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Maybe we ought to take more time at church than we do trying to have fun in life. Or make money. You know, some of you, your God is your wallet. I'll promise you, you start obeying God, God will help you with your finances. I guarantee it. When you do it God's way, I didn't say you'd never have a problem. Say why? Because you're a sinner and so am I. But you revenge disobedience with obedience. Brother Joe, you know, since I became a soul winner, while I'm out soul winning, doing things the way God said do them, I've never had anybody offer me drugs. I've never had anybody offer me alcohol. I've never had immorality offered to me with a Bible in my hand talking about Jesus. I haven't had the people peddle pornography while I got a Bible open. Matter of fact, they scatter. Uh-oh, here come the preacher. Yeah, buddy, here come the preacher. Brother Neil, you'll love this. We were in South Chicago getting ready to have a big day. We're going to have some open air meetings. I was scoping out for where we could put a truck and flatbed truck and a PA system and preach to a bunch of people on the street corner. We were in Harvey and Dixmoor, South Chicago. And I don't mean this in a racial way. If you take this the wrong way, you took it the wrong way. But, you know, me and the three other guys were the only white people in town.
Yes.
Areas. It was a little rough. Well, I had two deacons from the church with me and one other guy. And I'd pull up and stop and we'd roll the window down. We would talk about it. Man, the guys would come by, the gangs would come by, start calling me everything in the world. You know, we were a little out of place. After about the third time that happened, Brother Neil, I told the guys in the car, I said, this happens one more time, I can't take it. Sure enough, we went about three blocks, pulled over as it at the edge of this empty lot. About six guys come out. Brother Mike, they started calling me and my mama different things. I slammed my car in park. I flipped open the door. I grabbed my Bible and one of them said, uh-oh, that's the preacher. I said, yep, that's the preacher. Get over here. They started scattering. I said, get over here. I said, you got enough guts to call me those names. You're going to have enough guts to listen to me. I stood there on the edge of my car, preached. I gave it to them straight and plain. Told them they were going to die, bust hell wide open. They were going to fry like a sausage in hell. I started giving them the gospel, told them they were sinners. They got on their knees at the edge of my car, used my bumper as an altar, and got saved, all six of them.
Amen.
Got back in my car, went about a block and a half, and one of the guys in the car said, pull over, Brother Bush. I said, what? He said, pull over. I said, all right, I thought he saw something. He grabbed me and said, don't you ever do that again. He said, did you see the guns and the knives? I said, didn't care. I'm tired of them calling the preacher names.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, about a week later, we had an open air meeting. You know who the six guys were that stood around my truck while I was preaching was? Those six guys. One of those guys said, my mama's in a church down here. It was a Sunday afternoon. He said, I told my mama that I got saved. He said, my mama said, come to her church, and her preacher had let her church out early. Come here, you preach. I walked three blocks down the road, stood in the back, and some old black preacher's up there going to town. Let me tell you, he said, are you the one with the church service down the road? He said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to pray and dismiss. While I was there, he started praying, dismissed his church. They all walked down, came to the church meeting, and the preacher's wife got saved.
Lord.
Amen.
I'm not kidding.
Amen.
Say why? Because somebody had enough guts to fight wrong with right.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? You revenge disobedience with obedience.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So I might be afraid. Why do you have to be afraid to obey?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to change some things. Well, then change it.
Amen.
Jump in. The water's fine. I've seen where the world ends up. I don't want to end up like
that's
that.
Right.
I've seen where liberal Christianity ends up. I don't want to end that way.
Yes, sir.
I've seen how miserable people are out of the will of God. I'm having fun. How about you?
Yeah, you
I'm like Brother Fugit. Don't feel sorry for me, man. I'm having a great time. Man, I'd hate to be your kids. Yeah, you hate to be my kid, but you'd have fun. About obey being faithful to church. You know, you cannot win by fighting the issues. You win by obeying right.
Yes. Sir.
When Jesus was tempted by the devil himself, listen to what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. It is written. He said, by the word of God, you defeat the devil. Jesus himself had to use the Bible to defeat the devil. He said, Scripture says, it is written in Scripture, this is what you do. Some of you need to get in that book and know that book by being at church and reading it on your own enough to where you don't have to worry about sin. You wouldn't worry about the way you dress if you'd read the Bible and hear it preached and obey it.
Amen.
By the way, that's how you conquer an addiction. Struggle with smoking, struggle with drinking, struggling with lying. You know how you fix lying? Tell the truth. You know how you fix smoking? Don't smoke. Don't buy them. You know how you fix drinking? Don't buy it. Don't go where they serve it. You will never beat sin by fighting it. You will defeat sin. You'll defeat the devil by obeying right.
Amen.
If Jesus had to use the word of God in obedience to whip the devil, what chance do you have without it? You think you're so hot? You think you're super Christian? You pull your shirt off and it's got a big S on it? Uh-uh. Got a big L on it. Loser. Because you're going to lose. You revenge disobedience with obedience. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God was striking at my heart. There's something in that sermon that I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands up everywhere. Who'd say, preacher, there's some things in my life maybe I need to bring back tonight. I've got music, or I've got this, or I've got that. I don't need to know what it is. Nobody else needs to know what it is either. Bring it in the bag. Nobody's got to see it. Don't put your name on it. Who says, preacher, I've got some things I need to get rid of in my life. Would you raise your hand? All right, good, good, good. Others? Yeah. How about some of you young people? Made some decisions. Who'd say, preacher, there's an area of my life I need to start obeying in. Raise your hand. Oh, my soul.